Sir, and what is your name?
Roger Lamb Smith.
Okay, Mr. Smith, if you can just hold on one moment, we'll be ready to go with your hearing, sir.
And just give me a second, more than a second, but just give me a second.
So we will be ready to move forward, sir. Good morning again, Mr. Smith. Would you state your name and agency number for the record, sir?
Roger Lynn Smith, 044755.
Okay. Welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Inasmuch as you have been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412B-411 hearing, that means that you have been considered to be moved to your next parole, to your next consecutive sentence, or absolute discharge. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that means that you will not be going home today regardless of what the board decides. But what we show, based on the information that I have, you are currently serving a sentence for first-degree murder, which had its beginning back on June 6th, 1981. You became parole eligible on December 17, 2009, and that is a 25-year to life. If this board see fit to parole you to your next consecutive sentence, then you will be moved to a armed robbery, and that would be for 7 years. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
Although you cannot see us this morning at this time, maybe you saw us a few minutes ago, but you cannot see us because of these technical problems that we're running into. There are three board members participating in your hearing this morning, and they are the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Mr. Windhouse, and my name is C.T. Wright. I will be serving as your panel lead for your hearing this morning. I'm also chairman of the board. Sir, we want to find out from you what's been going on, and we want to talk to you, and you talk to us, and so that we can see what this board, what determination this board will make this morning for you, sir. Now, based on some information, and sometimes our information is not complete, so that's why we'd like to talk with you about it, so that you can correct anything that may not be correct or that we may have not observed. Based on information that I've learned, the last time you appeared before this board was August 29, 2017, and at that time you were denied at that time. And at that time, according to information that I'm looking at, that all of us, the three of us, rather, participated in your hearing before. Therefore, we all have some understanding of what happened the last time you appeared before the board, and we want to see, you know, what has happened since then, and if any progress has been made since we spoke with you last year, sir. Now, based on information that I have that's been presented to the board, I do take note that you are 58 years of age. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
And I take note that you did submit an institution progress report. You had some programming. What I show here on what you presented to the board, your last programming or counseling or whatever was back in 2013. Have you had any programs or courses or anything since 2013, sir?
No, sir, other than working, that's not programming, but...
Okay. What kind of work do you do, sir?
I'm a groundskeeper, but I'm a pretty much go-fetcher. Whatever I see needs to be done, they allow me to do it, mm-hmm. because I don't just stand around. You know, I'm become proactive about stuff.
I commend you for that, because we all need to be doing something. If we just sit around and do nothing, we're going to get in trouble. So I commend you for always finding something to do, and once you are released, that will also mean that you can find something to do. So that's good. But when you took your last program, that would have been cognitive thinking, and as I said, that would have been back in 2013. And I go all the way back, I don't see the date on this one, but did you complete your GED, sir?
Yes, sir. 01.
Yes, sir. Back in October 6th and 01. Yes, sir. We commend you for completing that program. We also take note that in 04, I guess you did
substance abuse education, and '04 also you did the SMART program as well. So, in particular, you haven't had any other programs, sir, or they're not available, or what's going on in your yard, sir?
Excuse me a second. No, I haven't taken any more, sir. I've been working and helping out however I can in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend all my time doing that, sir.
Mm-hmm.
But this program and over here, I'm not sure what all it is.
Mm-hmm.
They have, what is it? Cognitive rethinking or something like that, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thinking for a change,
mm-hmm.
things like that. It's basically the same that I took over at Running Unit.
Okay.
And I'm not signed up for any of them, sir.
Okay, sir.
I'm traveling the path inwards. I've been doing it for years.
Okay.
And I exited the highway, sir. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean my mind, self. And stripping away slowly all the illusions, delusions, distortions, misinterpretations, misperceptions that, you know, us humans get afflicted with.
Yes, sir. Now, also take note that so your release plan, you said you want to go to Ohio to reside with your daughter. Do you have any plans at all once you are released? As I said, today you won't be released because this is a 12B, but when you're released, any particular reason that you don't have anywhere in Phoenix, not Phoenix, but in Arizona, to reside? I know you want to go, and of course, if you're going to Ohio, you got to go, you know, that route of the interstate compact and all of that, and that's the reason I'm asking. Do you have any plans at all in state? Do you have any relatives or supporters in the state of Arizona, sir?
No, sir. I got arrested the same day I knew I was in Arizona, sir.
Oh, okay. So, what were you doing? Well, since you mentioned that, so that's a good place to start. Now, what were you doing in Arizona, sir, the first day to get arrested, sir? You ended up being tied up with this murder. What happened, sir?
I was picked up by a couple guys hitchhiking, Mexican gentlemen, and I found out through police reports it was Gila Ben. And they were coming from their father's ranch to their mother's house in Phoenix. And we got to drinking, smoking marijuana, and all that, and taking pills. That's not an excuse or anything, that's just what happened, sir. And they were going to do a robbery at a liquor store. And they were arguing amongst themselves, you know, back and forth, which one was going to go in and do it. And I told him I will. I sure wish I had got to do over, sir. But the dummy I was, I did. And as I was taking the money, it wasn't my gun. As I was taking the money out of the cash register, the gun went off. And for many years, I wondered about that, but when I had my evidence of my Rule 32 hearings and my attorney had all the appellate attorneys, had all the other, all footage for officers have shot their own partners, because apparently we have a tendency to, if you grab something with one hand, the other hand will have a tendency to squeeze also sometimes. And I assume that's exactly what happened, because I hadn't told the trigger to hurt him, you know, to shoot him. I was grabbing money.
Okay, now, as I understand it, that was a
pharmacy store.
That was used. Whose gun was that, sir?
One of theirs, either Freddy or Tony, one of theirs.
They were brothers, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So, but you ended up, if I read the pre-sentence report as well as a report from the county attorney's office, you shot him in the head, though, didn't you?
Yes, sir. The gun was pointed you know, I had plenty of them, sir.
Why was that necessary? You just went in and roped them. I've never roped anybody, so I don't know. But why would you have the gun pointed at the head rather than just pointing something? You wouldn't let it rop, you know, just, why didn't you have the gun pointed up in the air or just point it somewhere rather than at the individual, sir?
I didn't have it fall through or anything. I was just in there. I didn't really give it any thought in that way, sir. You know, like I planned to point it at his head, nothing like that, sir. It was an act of extreme stupidity and,
And with your recollection, how old would you have been around the time that this,
21, sir.
You were 21. And where were you going? Where were you coming from and where were you going? You said you had just come into the state of Arizona and picked up by these two brothers. So where were you actually headed to, sir? Where were you coming from?
Started out in Virginia. I went down to see family I hadn't seen since I was a kid, down to South Carolina. I really didn't know, sir. I was just traveling until my sister's boyfriend was in California. He had moved out there. And go visit him. I really didn't give any thought, sir. You know, I just, I'd been incarcerated since I was a kid. And I don't know, I wasn't really ancient, sir. I was just reacting.
Since you mentioned that, sir, of course, we see the record when we... So what did you get incarcerated down south for, you know, back in the Carolinas and so forth? Virginia, what were you incarcerated in the past for?
Fighting, let's see, auto theft. Mm-hmm. That was for the, in Virginia. That and then when I was on escape from the film school in Virginia, I abducted Miss Kilgore and her children because I was running from a group of guys that had got into it with and took a knife from them, and I ran from them, and I didn't know how to drive. And I jumped into a car to try and get out of there, which I did. I really didn't think beyond that, sir. You know, I was just a kid reacting. That's not an excuse, nothing of that. I take full responsibility. I was the one that did it, sir. But I really wasn't giving it a thought, you know, about other people, you know?
Yes, sir.
Not the ramifications, drinking and stuff too, but that's not an excuse either, sir. That's just what I was doing and what it is, sir. I'm accountable for everything I've done, whether it was thinking or not. All of that, it's relevant, but it's really totally irrelevant, you know? And if I hadn't done it, it wouldn't have happened, sir.
Well, I appreciate you taking responsibility for the crimes that you have been involved in. As I said before, that we all have had a chance to talk with you before, so I'm just going to ask maybe one or two more questions, and then I'll go to other board members. Now, let's move forward. What have you done, let's say, over the last 5 years where this board even should consider moving you to the next consecutive sentence, sir? Anything? I know you work, you're not commending for working, but what could you tell this board, that these board members that you've done, that this board could even think about moving you to the next consecutive sentence? Because you remember, if we move you to the next consecutive sentence, you only have 7 years left. So
yes,
sir. That's a big step. So what have you done to justify moving to your next sentence, sir?
Sir, I've been traveling the path inwards, redemption, but most importantly, that is the single most important thing. I exited the highway, sir, you know, I, me, my, myself, and my mental atmosphere, that's the subtotal of all that we have in our mentality, all that thinking and stuff does not exist anymore, sir. That mentality, it doesn't exist. And the more you get out of your way, sir, and do for others, not for self, it's so liberating. I never do all that stuff, sir, but I guess I was ready for it. You got to be ready, you know, in your spirit, your soul, whatever it may be called, sir. And that's the path I've been on, traveling inwards, stripping away all the illusions, delusions, distortions, misinterpretations, misperceptions. You know, go through the prism of our perception. We make things what they are, sir. Try to tell things what they are, to let them communicate to us what it is. You know? And, man, I just
Well, let's ask this, and then I move on. Where are you learning all of this from? You know, I mean, you sound very profound, you know, in terms of your thinking. Is this some type of program, or is this something that you read, or, you know, you sound like you've been, you've given some thought to it, so what? Is it something that you are just part of you now, sir?
I was ready for it. That's all I can say, but throughout my life, you know, I've, always, usually, when I thought, I was traveling the highway, you know, but over in SMU-1, Browning unit, I ordered this book from the library. It's called The Science of Mind. I'm non-religious. The book is by Ernest Holmes. He wrote it back in 1926. It was published in 30-something. He's the one that they founded the Christian Science Church, not Scientology, but Christian Science Church. It teaches you how to be a mental practitioner. It's basically a textbook, really. They recommend you take a year with it. But, sir, if you get out of your way, you know, and I'm just, all of us, man, there's such wisdom and knowledge, and I am so great. Though it shall never be, there should be required reading in all institutes of learning around the world in every language. It should be, so it's called The Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. I'm non-religious myself, sir, but he interwoves Eastern Western philosophies and religions, and wow. And if you're ready for it, man, it'll blow you away. It did me.
Yes,
that was my exit from the highway.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Okay, man, I'm going to see if other board members might have some questions for you, sir. So, questions? Okay, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse has questions for you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Mr. Smith, I'm curious, you had said you were in some other trouble in other states before you came through here. And I'm wondering, were you on any sort of probation or parole in those states?
I was on parole from Tennessee, ma'am. Yes, I was.
So, and what was the crime you had committed in Tennessee?
Abduction, four counts of abduction.
Okay. I see that you did, I thought in your criminal record said you'd done 4 years in prison for that?
4 years and 7 months. It happened in Virginia and ended up in Tennessee, but the federal didn't charge me. They let the state take it over. And
okay.
I was arrested in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Okay, yeah, that happens sometimes when you cross a state line like that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and the other thing I mean, I know you've thought about the crime, but have you given thought about the victim, the crime victim himself?
Very much so, ma'am.
Tell me what you think.
A number of hearings back, it really blew me away. I mean, it's still, I can't get Mr. Housman out of my mind. My crime happened June 6th of 81. Did you know he was World War II, storming the beaches and stuff? And, June 6th, I mean, that man comes in and a meat grinder and stuff there. And along I come, different year, same day, though, you know, June 6th. You know, that man survived all that. And I listened to Miss Huffman's letter, and I listened to it when she was at my evidential, sentencing hearing, pre-sentencing hearing and stuff. And, yeah, I think about her, man. I think about her a lot. And Mr. Helfand's, that's what he asked, I found that out, man. You know, June 6th, right? That man survived that horror. And he ran into the face of it, you know, as those men did that. But here it is, man. You know, June 6th.
Okay.
You know, and so I killed Mr. Helfand. It certainly wasn't my intent, but I can't get that out of my mind. Which is a good thing, I think. I think that's what's helping keep me on the path of redemption, you know? That's all I'm going to do, man. I don't want to harm anything ever again, not even in self-defense. You know, people say people change. You know, there's this thing that's changing, but there's also a thing of evolving. And devolving or staying stagnant, man. I'm constantly evolving, and it's wonderful. We should all experience that. Get out of our way. Stop making things what they're not. Into our perception. Okay. It's wonderful, man.
Thank
it really is.
You, Mr. Smith.
And I'm on a path of redemption, if you wish. Or acts of contrition. But really, it's just, it just happened, man, and it's a wonderful and great thing, and I do it in here all the time, selflessly, and I put myself out for others, you know, always, you know, because it's not about you, you know, oh, I don't feel like doing this, hey, helping this person, how's that, it's not about you, it's about that person, get out of the way, exit that aisleway, get off of there, you know?
Yes, sir, we understand. Any further questions at this time, though, Ms. Williams? Not? The Honorable Mr. Johnson has questions for you, sir.
Sir. Mr. Smith, in your institutional progress report, it says that you wanted to reach out to your family and...
Excuse me, sir. I cannot hardly hear you at all.
Is this any better?
Slightly, but I got my finger in my other ear, but... I'll try as best I can. If I can't make you out, I'll let you know, sir.
How's that, Mr. Smith? Hello?
There we go.
Okay. So, in your institution progress report, sir, it stated from the last couple of years you've been reaching out to your family, and in the current one, I guess, you contacted your daughter. Have you had contact with your family, or what's that status now, sir?
Only my daughter, none in the family. My sister died last year, mother and father, and now my little sister. And she was the one I was hoping to see the most again in my family. But I got another sister and two brothers. But we're basically strangers. I've been incarcerated much of my life, sir. More than half of it. And I was 16 years old when I got bound over stand trial as an adult, you know, went to prison at 16.
So what about your daughter, Tabitha, Vaughn?
What about my daughter, what, sir?
You have a daughter, Tabitha Vaughn?
Yes, she's in Cecil, Ohio.
And so have you established a relationship with her?
Contact, yes, back and forth. Her writing is extremely sporadic, but that's okay. She writes me when she does. And I've never met her, sir. I've never met her. But she tells me I can come back there, live with her to Ohio. Never been there. But it really doesn't matter, sir, where I go. I'll be the same person that I am. You know, I'm traveling a path, sir. And I don't even have to think about so-called doing the right thing. It's just what I do, sir. And it's not some game. That's not some fake words. You have to really experience it, sir. But anyway, it doesn't matter what I encounter out there, sir. That my mental atmosphere does not have that in it anymore. You know?
Okay.
Doesn't have it. And I realized, and I mentioned to the board before, that the majority of the, especially in prison, that I got in trouble for passing a rig in an outfit, syringe, dope, you know, passing cell phones, store, because of my job, you know, helping others, so the man, it wouldn't get busted. I would help. I would do it. Yeah, I'd get busted, you know? And it, the realization came to me, man. Almost everything I've been in trouble for in prison, almost everything, almost. It was because I was doing for others, not for me, you know? I was helping out. Wanted to be accepted or whatever, you know? Considered one of the convicts. Whatever, sir. And this is very negative. Even though you're helping people out, man, you know, it's not for the positive. So when I realized that, I told people, and Mr. Livingston, I mentioned it one time, and I told the people, look, hey, man, leave me alone, you know, don't ask me to do these things for you, you know, I don't want to do it. And when Mr. Livingston, during the deliberation, he said, see, Mr. Smith, told people, leave them alone. Well, yeah, don't ask me to pass your drugs. Don't ask me to pass your cell phones. Don't ask me to pass your rigs, your outfits, etc., sir, you know? That's a good type of leave me alone. You know?
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Smith.
Okay. Okay. Anything else, Mr. Johnson?
No.
Anything else, Mr. Rittenhouse? Okay. Is there anyone in the room supporter of Mr. Smith? In the room supporting Mr. Smith? Any victims in the room for Mr. Smith? Any victims in the room for Mr. Smith? There are none. Some of you are coming towards the end of your hearing, but this is your hearing. We're going to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board without repeating itself. Is there anything else you want to tell the board? But please don't repeat yourself. And after you speak, then we will, the board will go into discussion and make its determination. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir?
Yes, sir. At the last hearing, when I don't know who the lady was, but she spoke during your deliberations, and she said, Mr. Smith already lied to us. She said that he said he held a gun in one hand, and when he grabbed the money, the gun went off. She said, that's impossible. You can't do that. You know, I didn't see the movement that she took. How can that not be so, sir? I mean, you hold a gun in one hand, and you use the other hand, it's free, you know, to do whatever with, you know? And so she accused me of lying right there. I didn't lie. I had the gun in one hand, the other hand I grabbed, you know, I grabbed the money with it. And so I didn't lie. I've never been nothing but forthright, forthcoming, and honest with this board members. I have not lied not one time. And I won't. But anyway, sir, different things. I only have a certain amount of time to talk to you board members each time, sir, ma'am, and get 37 years of, you know, in there, you know, when this change happened, this, you know, sir, I mean, really, that just can't happen that way. And all I can do is be forthright, forthcoming, and honest. And if people don't believe me, that's them. But if they were around me, they'll see it because I demonstrate it continuously. You know? And so I'm ready.
Okay, sir. Thank you so very much, sir. At this time, the board is going into discussion. As you know, as many times as you've been before this board, that we do operate under the open meeting laws of the state of Arizona, which means that you can hear everything that we say. And please stay on the phone. Don't hang up. But please stay on the phone, and you can hear everything that we say. But we're going to ask that you remain quiet. It may sound like we're talking to you, but we're not. Just three of us talking among ourselves. And we'll be right back with you with the decision of this board. The
board
is here in discussion. Once again, I find Mr. Smith to be a very interesting person. person. He seemed to be a profound thinker. He thinks quite well. I think that if he had been thinking quite well when this took place, we would have the opportunity to be talking to him about his conviction that that's the way life is. I think that the question that we have to ask, that I have to ask as a board member, do I feel that he's ready to move to his next and second sentence, which I've already stated, would be all the way to the 7 years. In view of the nature of this crime, I'm just not convinced yet that he should be, but I'm only speaking as one board member. Each board member think and speak independent of each other. So board members, I'm going to see what the board members might have to say at this time. Let's open up for board members at this time. Okay, the Honorable Miss Woodenhouse.
Well, Mr. Smith is certainly a philosopher, and I think he is on a good path with his personal philosophy about helping others, and he's kind of figured out that helping others doesn't include and get him in trouble if he does some of the things like passing syringes and such. That kind of thing gets him in trouble. But so I think he's made a wise choice there. He certainly has spent most of his life in prison, it looks like, or getting in trouble. I'm not sure that he's someone who would get in trouble anymore. But at the same time, it was a terrible crime. I do appreciate that he's thought about the victim of this crime, and that he's realized the irony of the date that the crime occurred. I think that shows that he is a thinker and a philosopher. But I'm with you, sir. I would not be in favor of this time.
Thank you so very much. Mr. Johnson?
I think that Mr. Smith's been in prison 37 years. That's a long time. He was in his 20s or younger, teenager when this incident occurred. He understands that he got involved in an incident with really just being a follower. He said they were arguing about who was going to take the gun inside, and he took the gun. It's ironic that he says that he's, every time he's gotten in trouble, he's trying to help somebody else out doing something. I tell you, my concern right now is that looking at what he's had been doing is that he just doesn't have, at least to me, he doesn't have a good system or anything set up for his release. He doesn't have like a good release plan or what he's going to do, who's going to kind of, I think he needs to focus on, if he has his life together now, start focusing on if he gets down to his next consecutive sentence, that, you know, in a few years from there he'll be getting released, and what type of release plan he would actually have, or what he's going to do when he gets released so that he don't find himself doing something to somebody else and, you know, harming someone and back in prison again. So because of that, I'm not totally supportive of Mr. Smith being released at this passed on to his next consecutive sentence.
Thank you so very much. At this time, I'm going to offer a motion, see where it goes, and we'll go from there. And my motion is going to be as it relates to Mr. Roger L. Smith, ADC number 044755. And that is to deny, we'll move to his next consecutive sentence for 12B or absolute discharge. And that is my motion to deny.
I'll second.
Great.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, to deny, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Woodenhouse, and agreed by the Honorable Ms. Johnson. And he does not qualify for, or does he? I believe this crime took place in 81, therefore he does not qualify for a 10-year set off. And the reason, I mean, release type denied is 412B, 411. Just want to make sure I check the right box here. Okay, and reasons for denial are as follows in my opinion, but I stand to hear from other board members. But before I do that, I would just want to go on the record, which I should have done much earlier. that we do have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office opposing his release, and this letter is dated August 24th, 2018. I just wanted to make sure that that is a record, serious and violent offense. Anytime I think you shoot someone in the head, human loss of human life, serious and deviant behavior. I'm also going to say trauma to the victim. I'm going to check, unless I'm instructed by other board members, multi-victims also for this purpose. There was one victim for this purpose, but when you go back to Tennessee, Virginia, and Carolinas, the victim's wife, thank you so very much, therefore, I'm going to check the multi-victims. I'm also going to check the poor release plan. He has a release plan, but he wants to go back to Virginia, and if he's releasing, he's going to have to begin in the state of Arizona. I don't see community or family support at this time. And I know he said that for whatever reason, and I think this goes back to his philosophy, the lack of programming at this time, because I believe he prefers working than doing programming at this time. I believe he would prefer working and studying so that he can be a great philosopher rather than coming up with a just regular, what we would consider regular programming. Prior criminal history, which we talked about, we were out of state. Anything else, board members, that should be included? I hear nothing else coming from board members at this time. Mr. Smith, we've heard what the board has decided, and that is to deny, and you will be certified in about 6 months to come for this board again. And I've given the reason for the denial. Do I need to repeat anything, sir?
No, sir, I couldn't hear anything the previous two words. The gentleman in the lady was saying during that deliberation now, but that's okay.
Okay, well, we're going to work on this system. As you said, we did have some technical problems. We do have some technical problems.
That's okay.
We're sorry that you could not hear, sir.
That's okay.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, sir. And, of course, if you want a copy of this hearing, you can always request your CO3 to request a copy from the Board of Executive Clemency, sir. So thank you so very much, and this will end your hearing, and please put the CO3 back on the form, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.